This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number two. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb, and we're continuing to buzz about last night's round one of the NFL draft with Bryce Young going number one overall. Carolina knew who they got wanted. They got their guy at number one, their franchise quarterback. And now it is off to the races with all the picks and what they'll do for their teams that selected them. If you're a Georgia Bulldog on defense, you're very likely to end up with the Philadelphia Eagles. They landed the two better Bulldog defenders last night in the draft as the Eagles had two picks. And both went defense and both went Georgia, one of the best defensive units we've seen in college football in a long time. They land Jalen Carter last night in the draft. And then the other thing, too, was, again, Will Levis. We're going back to Will Levis for a second. So for a long time, there was this thought in the NFL amongst people, you know, me, a bunch of other people, who started to look at this and would say, hey, you know, it's something you guys probably heard many times, which is for 32 teams, they're not 32 starting quarterbacks, right? There are teams that just have a guy playing quarterback, a guy they don't really want to play quarterback, but there's not 32 elite-level QB1s in this league. That's one of the reasons that a Lamar Jackson can get $52 million a year on a new contract. Jalen Hurts can get 51, and Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow will break the bank when they're up for contracts, because it is a rare quality to have. So last night, as the draft was progressing, there were three quarterbacks that were on the board, off the board, and Will Levis was the only one left. But he ran into something rather unique, which is that the teams that had picks in the first round, many of them were set at the quarterback position. There weren't a lot of teams that were in need of a quarterback. Let's go to Indianapolis at four. Once they drafted Anthony Richardson, that meant Will Levis was the only, quote, first rounder left, right? Depending on how you were grading it, we all were looking at a four quarterback first round. But then the Seattle Seahawks picked at five, and they don't need a quarterback. They just signed Geno Smith. Arizona's got Kyler Murray. Now, the Raiders were interesting to me at seven because Jimmy Garoppolo was saying this earlier this week. Jimmy Garoppolo, they signed him to a two-year deal, paying him about $24 million a season. It's a guy you would like to just kind of have a stopgap. We're looking for our franchise guy, but you'll do for now. We'll pay you handsomely to be the guy, but you're not the guy. Now, maybe the Raiders said, you know what? We're good with Jimmy G for right now. We're going to chill and build around it and get our franchise guy later, because they went with Tyree Wilson. But after that, the Falcons have committed to Desmond Ridder, right or wrong. And I'm not talking about, and believe me, I'm not talking about these are elite quarterbacks. I'm just talking about teams that have figured out their quarterback position for 2023 and maybe beyond. The Atlanta Falcons want to see what Desmond Ridder will do as a full-time starter. So they weren't interested in mucking up that with getting a first-round pick. Because as I was saying earlier, you draft a quarterback in the first round, that's your guy. He now becomes your guy. Doesn't matter who you have, that's the person. The Eagles just have Jalen Hurts. Justin Fields is in Chicago. Tennessee was interesting. But they've got Malik Willis, who they think they'd like to see in a full-time role once Ryan Tannehill and the team part ways at some point. The Lions have Jared Goff. The Jordan Love era is going to begin in Green Bay. Kenny Pickett's in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers is with the Jets. And Washington's on the board. Now they have Sam Howell. They're in the same position. We've already got a guy. We want to see what this guy looks like. We don't need to throw anything at him by drafting a quarterback in the first round. But do you see where I'm going with this? All of a sudden, there's a lot more teams in the NFL that are at least set with who they have at quarterback. There weren't a lot of teams in this draft that were like, we don't have anybody. And those teams that did not have anybody got their guys earlier in this draft. Same thing in, you know, going down again, the Chargers, Baltimore, the Vikings with Kirk Cousins, who's coming up down the road on a contract that will expire. They didn't want Will Levis. The Giants are set. So are the Bills, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, the Bengals, the Saints, with Derek Carr now in camp. Jalen Hurts again at 31, and the Kansas City Chiefs. So there just weren't enough teams that were in a position to say to the rest of the NFL, we don't know who's playing quarterback for us, and we don't like who's playing quarterback for us. Everyone seems comfortable. Now, maybe there was something to that toe injury, but I find it hard to believe with as many eyeballs and that is on this process. This is one of the most scrutinized sporting events, quote unquote, that we have in America. It is analyzed, reanalyzed. Everybody's got a mock draft. Everybody is tapping to every source they possibly can. It is a race to the finish line with every reporter that's out there. Get me something, get me something, get me something. So guys who are making a lot of money reporting on the inside details are trying to get you inside details. And not one of them brought up a toe injury to Will Levis that could cause him to plummet in this draft. Not one. And if you want to talk about the people that really do know, that really have their ears to the ground, it's Vegas. They're seeing where the money was going. And a lot of people liked Will Levis to go number one overall. So this toe injury thing, I'm not saying it's not true and it's made up. I'm not saying that. I'm saying somebody told Chris Mortensen something that may not be 100% accurate, but just something to use. It is likely that he was a smokescreen to get people off the trail of what Houston wanted to do with getting C.J. Stroud and then coming back and getting Will Anderson and letting Indianapolis had the pick of the two guys that were left, and that was it. Let people think that there was some movement at the top, that maybe a Bryce Young would be available when he wasn't, or C.J. Stroud would be available. They let C.J. Stroud, they let his name, image, and likeness plummet in the last few days to elevate Will Levis, only to have Houston grab him. Maybe that was the deflection. Maybe that was the case. But the toe injury didn't make any sense to anybody, again, who's on this 24-7. It's one thing to come as a shock to many of you who kind of follow it with your local media, local TV, watching whatever. It's another to have guys who are deeply entrenched in this to go, I never heard that. I don't know what anybody's talking about. Toe injury being a problem for these teams. But the overall point that I'm making here is that we might be at a point where there are just more teams now who are more solid with who they have at quarterback, even if it's not an elite Hall of Fame level, Pro Bowl level, they're just okay with what they have, and they just don't want to cause any more issues. The Atlanta Falcons, for example, who I mentioned earlier, they're okay with Desmond Ritter succeeding or failing under their watch. They love to see him succeed, but they want to know what they have. Sam Howell in Washington, they want to know what they have. So that might be what's going on here, where teams are not willing to pay the first-round money for a quarterback they just don't need. And like I said, you don't bring in a guy to back up Joe Burrow in the first round. You don't go, well, you know what? You never know. Joe Burrow could get hurt. We want our Super Bowl chances to be successful. You're paying this guy a lot of money. You pay first-round picks a lot of money. You're not going to do that for a guy that you hope holds a clipboard for the entire season. What you need, what you want is Will Levis' availability was coming at a time when nobody needed him. Now, second or third-round picks, that's when you go, yeah, you know what? Let's get him. It's off the primetime day. Somebody will get him in round two and it'll be okay. They might be like, yeah, you know, we got a guy. We got a Kirk Cousins. Bring him on board. He's not going to be QB1, but, you know, in a couple of years he might be. That might be what happens to Levis down the road. But you don't give up a first round pick for a guy you really don't want to need, you know, use and need. And I think that's what happened here. It is clear what we are starting to see in this league, especially in the AFC, is how amazingly loaded the quarterback position is in the conference. Everybody knows this, but it's really eye-opening when you take a look at teams in the AFC and you realize exactly what teams are up against. If you don't have a quarterback you're comfortable with in the AFC, you have zero chance of winning. Now, in the NFC, you could get by if your quarterback plays well, but in the AFC, you are dead in the water. New England Patriots, if you have a problem with Mac Jones in year three, you're dead. You're dead already. Aaron Rodgers, Tua Tagovailoa, and Josh Allen. But you absolutely are going to find yourself in last place and not being in running for any wild card spot if he's not good in year three. The AFC North, Burrow, Watson, Jackson, Steelers better hope Kenny Pickett works out. In the AFC South, now that you've got C.J. Stroud and the Texans and Anthony Richardson with the Colts, you can make it that this division is the weakest of the quarterback field. By far. This might be the weakest quarterback division in all the football.
But it's gotten better.
But I think, as we are right now.
Yeah, but I would say it was 10 times worse last year.
Well, you've got Ryan Tannehill, who's not going to raise anybody's eyeballs up on anything.
No.
You've got two rookies that are still a wait and see, and then you've got a generational quarterback in Trevor Lawrence.
Who finally found his form last year.
So you've got one very good quarterback in this division, and everybody else is, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe Richardson's a Pro Bowler. Maybe he's a bust. Maybe C.J. Stroud
leads
into a Super Bowl.
Where is Tennessee going, Malik?
Maybe Malik Willis. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's got to be the weakest. Then you've got Mahomes, you've got Herbert, Garoppolo, and Russell Wilson in the West. It's loaded. It's loaded.
Yeah.
Absolutely loaded. All right, we'll continue. The Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up next, and we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Your Friday. We continue with the NFL draft this weekend and the NBA playoffs, and those are good, but the good of the day is right here.
I mean, there's so much to choose from, right? I mean, there's good happening every single day, but I felt, I guess, a little jealous, Tony.
Yeah?
We didn't really have our own moose story.
Oh, no, we didn't have a moose story.
You know,
right.
I mean, if you've listened, there's a promo on here where there's no moose in Maine. Well, I can tell you where all the moose went, and they treat the moose there with kindness and respect. And that's in Kenai, Alaska.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Watsamatu, but that's
no,
totally
no, no.
Different.
Well, maybe that's where Watsamatu is in Kenai, Alaska.
Yeah, all right.
Because this very well could have been Bullwinkle walking into this place, but a movie theater in Kenai, Alaska had a special visitor. A moose walked into the theater, grabbed some popcorn, just munched on some popcorn, and then just casually walked out.
How does a moose get into a theater? Did somebody let them in?
I think the door was open.
Oh, okay.
They had the front door open. And that's why I'm saying the moose, they're kind of like us, man, because who doesn't go for the popcorn at a movie theater?
Right.
And if you're leaving that door open to kind of air out, I guess, you're smelling popcorn. You're going
in. That's right.
So you can't blame the moose.
Moose can be dangerous, man. They can mess you up, but a lot of times they just sit and go,
It was just funny because, I mean, obviously they got it on cell phone, they got it on security camera, but you can hear the ladies like, I'm not doing a thing.
No.
She just stayed right behind the counter.
You're not gonna go, don't go mess with the moose.
Yeah, scare the moose.
No.
Because two things can happen. One, the moose can hurt you, or two, the moose is going to find a new door.
When my wife and I were dating, I took her around mountains of New Hampshire, and there was a bunch of people on the side of the road, and there was a moose on the side of the road eating grass by a little stream, and everybody was stopped to see the moose.
Of course.
So we stopped and look at it. My wife was walking towards it with a camera back then, not her phone, an actual camera. And I kept going, don't go near it. Don't go near it. She got a really good shot of the moose, but I'm like, you don't know. When they mess you up, they will mess you up. They are huge beasts. Like, what do you, like, you really, I tried, she was hell-bent on getting a good shot.
My wife,
you're crazy.
We went to Yellowstone once, and my wife did the same exact thing, not to a moose, but to an elk.
A
female elk that was laying in the grass, and she decided to walk after it and go all the way out there and take a close-up photo. And I was just like, This can't end well.
I looked like a little chicken man. I'm like, don't go near it. Oh, it's so dangerous.
It just might leave the
She's
body
like,
there.
Just shut up. I'll be right back. Let me just go get a good nature shot. Jack Hanna would be proud.
That's right. I do have a bonus good.
All right,
and that is to my son's baseball team.
Yay!
And the reason why is they had their final game yesterday. The final game of the high school season was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was worried and concerned that I'm going to be watching the draft on my phone, but they decided to run rule this team not one game but two games in a row.
Good for them.
And we got out of there early. I got home in plenty of time, was able to tune in and sit there and wait patiently for the draft to actually start.
So they played a doubleheader yesterday?
They played a doubleheader. Yeah, all their games have been doubleheaders. But they...
Well, how long is that?
Well,
baseball games go a long time.
No. We were planning on, you know, if it's a normal type game, we plan on being there until, you know, starts at 4 and you have two doubleheaders. You know, usually we get out there about, well, they end it by 9.
Oh, okay. So no matter what, you're out by 9
o'clock. Unless you're in the middle of an inning, but you cannot start a new inning after 9 o'clock.
Oh, I was going to say, college games can go forever.
Yeah.
I can only imagine if you're mismatching in a high school game.
First game, they won 14-0 and only took an hour. Second game took maybe an hour and 15, and they
Very
won 12-0.
Cool.
So I do appreciate them getting us home in time to watch the draft.
Very nice. All right, what is the bat of the day?
The bat of the day, the big hat era could be on their way out. Now, I did see, I believe it was Will Anderson Jr. putting on a big hat at the draft yesterday.
Right.
But there may be a way for the big hat era to end, and the Braves and Major League Baseball may have found it.
All right, so this story is where Atlanta celebrates with the home run.
The big hat. Because, you know, right now, what you've noticed, there's been a growing trend, Tony, where Major League Baseball is trying to one-up each other. All these teams are trying to one-up each other with their home run celebrations, whether it's the Orioles with the big funnel, the beer funnel.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some of the other ones. I think it's a lot of times it's just been the Orioles. One time they did the sprinkler when a guy got the double. But the Braves have been celebrating home runs and momentous occasions, curtain calls, wearing the big hat. But Major League Baseball said, hey, you can't have the big hat anymore because New Era complained to Major League Baseball because New Era is the sponsorship of the hat, and they're the only hat that should be on a Major League Baseball field.
By the way, Noggin is the company, Noggin Boss, that makes the big hats. They're a Phoenix-based company, so we want to say hi to them. So they're the ones that started this. This is where...
We don't understand
what was his
it.
Name? What
Brian
was his,
Robinson
Brian
Jr.
Brian Robinson Jr. was the one that really kicked this off, remember?
Yes.
He wore the big hat and he said, hey, I got a friend. I can hook you up if anybody wants a big hat.
Yep.
And at the time we were like, what is that?
What's a big hat?
What do you mean? What do you mean if I want a big hat? And then next thing I knew, everybody was wearing one.
Everyone has a big hat.
Josh Allen was going on Thursday Night Football wearing one. I mean, they were everywhere. So somebody, I think, gave this to the Braves. And said, here, take this. And then they started wearing it. I can understand where you Major League Baseball, you're like, yeah, New Era's kind of ticked off.
And
if you guys wouldn't mind cutting that out. But if this – good for Noggin, the hat company.
I mean, just keep – Noggin, just keep going. Just keep pushing
rolling.
It out there.
Keep rolling.
I mean, obviously, there are certain places you don't want to wear a big hat. But, you know, keep it going. I think we've talked about that before. Like, big hat in a movie theater would not be good.
Yeah, and right, exactly. That wouldn't be good. But, yeah, they're becoming very popular. So, and they've got the licensing with some of the schools and whatnot, so that, you know, and I feel I completely – this is one of those stories where I kind of go, but I get it.
Yeah,
I absolutely
get it.
Like,
too.
You know, if you're New Era, you can't have another hat company.
Well, you
pay good money.
You can't have them being celebrated. Every great occasion that this team is having is celebrating
right,
with a big
exactly.
hat, not your hat.
That's right. New Era would be more than happy if they could have them celebrate with their hats, but instead they've chose the big one.
If Bill Buckner was wearing a big hat or Dennis Eckerle pitching to Kirk Gibson was wearing a big hat, New Era would be fine.
Yeah, that's right.
They'd be like, oh,
right.
yeah. No, associate that with them.
Yes. I think the people that started it went to Grand Canyon University. If I'm not mistaken.
All right.
Yeah, I think they went to Grand Canyon. So I hope I'm right about that, but I think I remember. I don't have time to look it up, so I'm going off the top of my head, which sometimes I get in trouble for.
I'm believing it.
But I think they went to Grand Canyon in Phoenix. But that's been a remarkable success story. Weren't they on Shark Tank?
Were they?
I should stop before I go.
No,
down
I'm
hole.
With you. Why not? They should be on Shark Tank.
Before I go down the road, I think I remember. I remember because we did this story and I was fascinated by it.
Well, that's because Brian Robinson Jr. started showing up and we were like, what is that?
I remember you and I doing a bit on it, and then I remember looking it up at the time, and I remember seeing, okay, look at that. And I think I saw a video
of the
two guys on Shark Tank.
Brian Robinson Jr. had one at the Super Bowl.
Oh, he did?
He was walking around with one at the Super Bowl, yeah.
Golly. So did you get a real close-up look at it?
I did. I got a close-up look.
What exactly this is?
He came to our table.
Oh.
And he had to remove the big hat because we had to put headphones on him.
Now, how big is the big hat?
It's big.
Is it that big?
It's a big hat.
Because you see it, and you kind of like, until I see it in real life, I want to kind of get an idea of what that is.
It's not that he has a small head. It's an obstrosity. It's obnoxiously large.
Yeah, it's kind of too bad. I like celebrations for home runs and cool, but I understand. I get new errors complaint. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Now, I'm going to say this. This dumb of the day is for a good cause.
Okay.
All right? It was for a good cause. But a British Marine probably may have set a Guinness World Record, which is the fastest marathon ran carrying a household appliance.
Oh, okay.
So Corporal Sam Hammond strapped a refrigerator to his back and ran the London Marathon. You ready for this?
Yes.
In 4 hours, 52 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, the reason why it's the dumb of the day is because, first of all, I don't even know where you come up with this idea. Like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run 26 miles with a refrigerator strapped to my back. But what's even worse is that I guarantee that time would be faster than anything I could hope for.
Without the refrigerator on his back, what would he run the marathon in?
I mean,
two and a half hours?
Maybe three.
Maybe three? I mean, I'm gonna have to watch this. Like, now you've got me perplexed. Like, so he strapped it on his back and he just went, I'm running 26. Good Lord, that's hard to. That's impossible.
And doing it under 5 hours.
That's impossible. That's crazy. They should get an award just for that.
Yes. And the fact is that I'll double check, but I think he only raised $6,000 for doing this.
Oh, my God. Somebody should step in and give him $1 million.
Exactly. I don't think they understand how hard that actually is or
how
crazy it is.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We continue. It's Wake Up Call on a Friday, going over the NFL draft, all the NFL news, some NBA playoffs as well. Join us on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.
SportsNet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good Friday to you. Thanks for joining us. Again, late nights last night as the draft went 4 hours, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific. If you're on the West Coast, you got it done in a nice time. It was about 11 o'clock my time when the draft wrapped up. But nevertheless, still, the show went on and did very well last night in terms of getting three networks in coverage. You had ESPN, the NFL Network, ABC. It's, again, one of the premier non-sporting events that we have. It's really wild. I mean, it's just fun. My wife really was watching it with me for whatever reason. She was just upstairs. We were just kind of hanging out. And I tried to explain to her what this was. And I said, you know, I remember, you know, I went to the one in Nashville here where I live and, you know, telling her about the crowds and whatnot. But I said, look at the different fan bases. They dress up in costumes.
Yeah.
They like, look at what's happening here. And I said, this is where you go to make your pilgrimage to the NFL. This is the only thing. Like, people won't go to the Super Bowl if your team's not in the Super Bowl. Like, you don't see people doing that. Like, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, but I'm going to Arizona this year to see Super Bowl. They just go, my team didn't make it. But the draft is the one event where everybody around the country can go and celebrate your team.
And they separate you into groups.
Yeah.
You're in front of that stage. I mean, you can see it on TV, but really in person, you can really experience it. Every team has their own section.
And if you are a famous fan, you have to be there every year.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. You have to show up.
And the costumes are getting more and more elaborate. When they were doing the Cowboys, there was a guy. Did you see the Cowboys guys?
Oh, he was like, he looked like he was all in paper.
There's two cowboy guys that stick out to me. One was wearing, it looked like a crystal ball helmet.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember him.
And then there was another one that had just a silver helmet with blue siren lights. Like the that you would see like old fashioned police cars have. He had five of them on there, and I was just like, man, you guys are you making these at home?
It's wild. They're wild. They're great. They're great. The story last night was that the unpredictability of the draft was the Houston Texans was them going. Taking a player at two, that in this case it was quarterback C.J. Stroud, and then coming right back and making that trade with Arizona and being able to get Will Anderson. Will it pay out? Don't know. I mean, but it's a bold move. Like you were mentioning earlier in hour one, you give up a lot for that. But that's what Arizona wanted. Arizona wanted to get out of that third pick and get some assets, and they got some assets. But they got a team that's bold. There's nothing better on draft day for the fans than a team in desperation. There's nothing better than feeling like there's a team on the board that's willing to do something a little bit outside the box, because a lot of this stuff is kind of boring. I mean, it's not so boring in the picks, but we want a little bit of drama. We were talking about this yesterday when Dane Bugler of The Athletic said, I'd love to go 0-33 because it means that it was completely chaotic and we kind of like the chaos. There are moments in the draft that gets very, very businesslike. These are just going to be picks and what the teams need. Sometimes it's best player on the board, but for the most part, there's no answer to that question, by the way. When we talk about the draft and we go, first round, is it best player on the board or position of need? There's no answer to that. Teams will draft best player, they'll draft need. It doesn't matter. Not everybody follows the same strategy. But once you get down to, all right, this team is taking this guy, this team is taking this guy, like there's a rhythm to it, but the Patriots traded with the Steelers. There was some other movement in this draft. But the big movement was the Texans. The Texans going, we're going 2-3 in this draft, right? I can't remember seeing somebody do that in the draft where they had two of the top three picks in the draft. So these better work for Nick Caserio. They better work. They got the right coach, I think, in DeMeco Ryans. I think he was the hottest name this offseason, and he was the guy that, I mean, didn't want to go to Denver. He wanted to go to Houston. He's part of Houston, and he loved the city, and now he gets to be the coach of the city. But now they've given him the weapon that he wanted, and they also got their quarterback. Now let's see how it plays out over the next couple of years. Any other big surprises in this draft in terms of things that were kind of eye-opening? I mentioned earlier the two Georgia players that on the defensive side, they went to the Eagles.
Yeah, maybe I was going to say that the Eagles moving up to get Jalen Carter.
To get Jalen Carter, yeah.
There were a lot of people thought that he was going to drop.
And then they got Nolan Smith with the 30th pick in the draft. So they got two good, solid Georgia
defenders.
To go
along with their Georgia defenders
two other guys.
From last year.
Yep, two other guys that they got from Georgia last year. So it's like, again, Kirby Smart's got a pipeline right to Philadelphia. You know, must be working with that. Yeah, N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis are now on the Eagles. So this is wild to see Philadelphia pull that off. You're an Eagles fan, and you've just gotten the news over the last week or so that Jalen Hurts is locked in, and you just picked up two Georgia defenders in the first round of the draft. That is a good week for a team that went to the Super Bowl last year. And that's the rich getting richer. You've locked in your quarterback, and you've got two guys on the best college football defense we've seen in a long time in Georgia, in Nolan Smith and Jalen Carter. Now, Jalen Carter, again, we know his story. We know his situation. There were a couple of things. One, there's the off-the-field stuff that he's doing probation for and whatnot. There might be a lawsuit that's involved with him now in terms of one of the families of an individual that died in the accident. Carter did say before all that, he's like, when all the facts come out, I'll be exonerated. All the facts kind of came out and he wasn't exonerated. And so he's doing some community service and whatnot. It was a racing thing. He wasn't directly involved in the accident. So he wasn't behind the wheel. He wasn't in that car, but he might've been part of the process of what led to the accident that killed those two people, including a teammate. But he, one of the other football concerns, I mean, I don't want to make light of that situation. That's a pretty serious situation. But if you want to keep it to football, he showed up to his workouts pretty overweight. It was like he had gained 9 pounds and was pretty slow. But nevertheless, he's a fantastic football player. And after a while, there'll be a rhythm to his work schedule with the Eagles. And if he does get in shape, he'll be fantastic for them. Fantastic. One big surprise to me was the Chicago Bears. They picked Darnell Wright, offensive tackle at Tennessee. He's a good offensive tackle. He's a good offensive lineman. He's played multiple positions on Tennessee's offensive line during his career. They found a niche with him at right tackle. But the Bears don't have anybody on the defensive line. I really thought the Bears were going to go defense with this pick. And I get it. Justin Fields is now your guy, and you want to do whatever you can to protect him. That's sort of the angle. But, man, there's nothing on the defensive side of the ball for the Bears. I was a little surprised they went with Wright that early. Wright was projected to be like 15, 16, 17.
And then the other one, too, that I think kind of stands out to me. I mean, first of all, it was kind of fun with the trades.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the first 10 picks because it was – you know, the Texans moving up and taking the Cardinals pick. The Cardinals are out 12. Then the Cardinals trade with the Lions, and the Lions move up. And then the Lions trade with some. And, you know, it was just like no one really wanted that 12th pick, it almost felt like, for a while there. But I was surprised to see two running backs go that quick. We all figured Bijan Robinson was going to go, which was weird for the Falcons to take him, but – you know, I think there's a lot more. I thought the Falcons have a lot more needs than a running back. But at the same time, you know, I was surprised that the Lions moved up as well to take, I can't remember the guy's name. What was the Lions, because they have DeAndre Swift. So I thought that was kind of an odd choice as well to take another running back, but they seemed overly excited about it. I mean, they were in there, Dan Campbell, and you can see the whole crew of the Lions were so ecstatic to get that running back. I didn't think that running back was worth, I don't know. That's probably something you could have gotten the second round or the third round. Other surprises in the draft, I would have to say, non-surprises, I would have to say Bill Belichick doing Bill Belichick things. I love the fact that he had his pick ready to go within 17 seconds. Of when the clock started, it was. I mean, and I. This is a totally off the subject too, but it still boggles my mind that you could have the clock start. The team's made a selection. You can see the flashing pick is in, but we're still given the full 10 minutes. I mean, you could have wrapped this thing up a lot faster last night, which is probably why they do that in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds because nobody cares about those players. But it's, you know, it was one of those things of just like, God, just, you know, we want to know. America wants to know what the picks are. Get the pick, you know, let us know who the pick is.
I think they can tighten that thing up a little bit.
I think
so,
too. Yeah, I was about to say, it was the Patriots. I mean, within 17 seconds, it said the pick was in. And yet we still were given the full 10-minute wait.
Yeah, and I know they want to make trades and they want to see what's available, but it's a long night for that. It's a long, long night for that event.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of, you know, the NBA is tightening it up a little bit. And it used to be 15 minutes. Remember when it used to be 15?
Yeah, oh my God.
But that was on a Saturday when you had nothing else going. You would, like, it was just on all day.
And
like,
that's,
it was, it would start at like noon and it would just run through the day.
And that's why they do it, like, you know, for the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds. They just, you know, churn them out like it's nothing. It's like every 5 seconds, you can't even keep up. The pick is coming.
Oh, they'll announce like three picks in a row.
Yeah.
Like they'll say, oh yeah, while we were away, these three teams made these picks.
And I know
in
that,
the fifth round.
And you know, I'm not losing sight of the fact that round one is a TV show.
Yeah, right, right. It's completely a TV show. All right, it's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so there's three things on the agenda today. We've been talking NFL draft, of course, round number one, and then Lamar Jackson getting a contract that is not fully guaranteed, but makes him the highest paid player in the NFL. He did it without an agent, but he didn't get the fully guaranteed deal that he wanted. And then, of course, there's the NBA playoffs, which will continue tonight. The West is not wrapped up yet. Phoenix and Denver are playing this weekend. The East is now set. Boston and Philadelphia will meet on Monday. The Knicks and the Heat, I believe game one of that series is Saturday at the Garden. But everybody else is watching and waiting for the Lakers in Memphis and then Golden State in Sacramento to see how those two games work. Now, both of the teams that lead 3-2, the Lakers and Golden State, are both playing at home. And this will be done by the weekend. And if it goes to game seven, and then we're off to round number two. But the NFL holding center stage this weekend with the draft, even the rounds like 5, 6, and 7 are still generate a lot of interest because people have learned you can still get a lot of players, a lot of good players at those positions. And of course, we always want to know who Mr. Irrelevant is going to be anyway. But the show went on last night in Kansas City. They did a fantastic job. I heard some negative reviews of the Vegas setting last year that it wasn't great to have a draft. But it did look like last night's setting was pretty cool. It did look like it was kind of neat. It looked like an open field.
Yeah.
It looked like a really nice place to go. Now, Nashville's was downtown Broadway in downtown Nashville. It's a street that extends all the way up with all the honky-tonks.
Nicole Arabeck reminded me of one of the most special moments in Nashville.
Oh, which was the bachelorette party. Yeah, the bachelorette party.
Oh, I've totally forgot about that.
I'm so
thankful that she brought that back up because I was like, yes. And, you know, the fact that those two women who planned their bachelorette party the same night as the NFL draft vowed to never let their significant others watch football again.
Watch football again.
I'm wondering how that went.
I really wonder how that went. Oh my goodness! Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah, Nashville is a thriving place for bachelorette parties.
They've got those pedal things
where you drink pedal bars, you know, and whatnot. But yeah, you got to check the calendar sometimes. That might be a Morgan Wallen concert going on. There might be the NFL draft. You don't know what's going on. So where's it going to be next year? Do we know?
Yeah, we do.
I'm not really up on my locations for the NFL draft. I'm going to look it up. NFL draft locations. Charlotte just put their hand in the mix. Let's see here. It doesn't really say where next year is going to be. You know where they should have it? London. Why don't they put it in London?
Because London doesn't want that.
Imagine if London had the draft.
What, you select players? What do you mean? You don't raise them from infancy? From 12 years old when they're
in
your club?
Sign them to development leagues? What is wrong with you? Picking players. Golly, this is awful. Yeah, it is kind of wild when you think about it. My wife asked a really interesting question last night because she said, you know, we were talking about, she goes, how do they know? Like, she goes, like, how do the players know? And I said, well, the teams call them in advance. Oh, okay. So sometimes you'll see them. So watch, you'll see them with phones. Oh, that's kind of cool. I'm like, does anybody ever say no? I said, well, there was one guy that said no, but he said no way ahead of the draft.
A couple days early.
And I said, Eli Manning was drafted by the Chargers and they won't play.
Well, he wasn't the first guy to say no.
He wasn't the first guy to say no.
But, John Elway, I think, might have been the first guy to say no.
But have we ever heard of a player go, who's on the phone? Oh, it's Cleveland. And I'm not here. I'll just go back to school. I'll do something else.
Real quick, next year's draft?
Yes.
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Oh, good.
Yeah, that should be a fun one.
2025,
don't know yet. But however, I guess there's been a little bit of a rumor or a buzz that it could be Green Bay.
Now, we talked about that. I can't wait. I hope it is in Green Bay. I think that would be fantastic.
My wife asked me that last night. She goes, which one's the team that's owned by the town? And I looked at her. I was like, at first I thought she said Towns. And I was like, I don't know Towns, billionaires. But, you know, I mean, that sounds like a billionaire last name.
That's right. Sure.
Why not? She said, no, the team that's owned by the town. I was like, okay. Yeah. Green Bay.
That'd be cool.
She asked, do they all get a say in how to pick? And I'm like, that's funny you ask. I know there's certain people elected to be in charge, but yeah, what if there's a shareholder that's like, no, I didn't want him.
They have not gone to New England, right? They haven't gone to Boston.
That's what I was explaining too. Is that, you know, I mean, the reason why the draft is always on the road now is because it's to help out those cold weather cities to have something.
They give them something. They're not getting a Super Bowl, so they get to have this.
So like, can you imagine a Super Bowl in Kansas City? I mean, the atmosphere would be electric, but my God, it would be cold.
Yeah, it's. I remember everybody in Denver was like, "Can we get a Super Bowl?" I'm like, "You're never going to get a Super Bowl.
You're going to get a Super Bowl there.
Never." And then when they finally went to New York, they went, "Yeah, this wasn't good. Nah, yeah, this. Nah.
They did it because it was the NFL headquarters or there.
And they did it
because
they built that
new stadium. Yeah. And then they said, you know what? Yeah, you're still out.
But if you're Pittsburgh, if you're Gillette Stadium, if you're Robert Kraft, you built new stadiums, but they ain't coming. They ain't coming to see you.
No, but that's why, I mean, you know, we talked about Nashville earlier this week. Nashville wants to build a dome because, yes, they want to host the Super Bowl.
They want
Cleveland.
It all.
Cleveland, I mean, we talked about how they might be moving because they can't get a stadium deal done because they want to build a dome.
Exactly.
And if you build a dome, like Minnesota, I could see hosting a Super Bowl again.
That's right.
Even though it was negative degrees outside.
You get to have it. So the atmosphere is great. It's phenomenal. I wish, as we were talking about earlier, I wish that we could have a little bit more, a little less TV show and more analytics on this. Like, I really do want to know if you think that drafting a running back, Detroit, is good with DeAndre Swift. Like, give us some real nitty gritty. You might touch on it. But I want a meltdown. All I see is every morning I see meltdowns. That's all I see.
Right.
That's all I see. Those are the only things that get traction is guys losing their mind. Who are you angry at today? Whatever talking head on TV. Why can't Todd McShay or Mel Kiper be screaming at the TV that the Jets made a mistake with this or whoever? Name your team. Whoever. By the way, the Jets drafted a defensive player. Can Aaron Rodgers ever get a first round anywhere, anytime? Can he get other than the guy that's going to replace him eventually?
I saw the perfect meme yesterday, and it had to deal with the Packers not choosing a wide receiver as well, right?
Right.
And it literally was. I think it's from. It's from some pirate movie or movie. I don't know where it was, but a guy had a noose around his neck, right? And he's standing in one of those where they do execution style really quickly, and he's looking towards somebody else. And it's Aaron Rodgers talking to Jordan Love after the Packers yet again don't select a wide receiver. And he goes, "Your first time?"
Yeah. Yeah, the Packers went with Lucas Van Ness.
Yes.
The defensive end out of Iowa.
Which, by the way, has seemed like he has a great family.
Yes, he does. Whoever, if they're sisters, I want to know. And if they're all girlfriends, I want to know.
They're all girlfriends.
There were three girls around him last night.
Very attractive,
hugging him and kissing him. And I said to my wife, he looks like he has a harem. And my wife goes, "Those are his sisters and maybe one girlfriend." I go, can I just pretend? Like, just don't destroy that for me. He's got a very good looking family, that young man. Yeah, they shouted. But he was another player that decided, I'm going to stay home and do this. There were a bunch of them last night that were not there in the green room.
I guess
they'd rather be at home waiting for a call and being surrounded by family and friends.
Are they afraid?
Do they want, but we got
to that point because remember, like, I mean, it just seemed like a few years ago. I mean, I remember when I went to the one in Dallas, I think everyone was there. Everyone who was selected, I think there were a lot of
people in Nashville too. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's COVID changed the rules on that because, I mean, obviously, you know, or maybe it was just Trevor Lawrence, in 2021 went, I know I'll be the number one overall pick.
Sure.
Everyone knows I will be the number one overall pick, but I'm deciding to stay home.
If you're Lucas Van Ness, though, you probably are not thinking you have enough television moxie to have people concerned if you're going to go in the first or second round. Like, you can show up and go on stage as a second round pick and he could just go, "Listen, I don't know when I'm going to be drafted. I just wanted to be here. This looks like fun. I just want to be here." But a lot of guys were staying home and waiting for the call and being surrounded by family and friends and everybody screaming in their house.
And that's where, you know, the Mel Kipers and the Todd McShays need to step up again and start blasting people.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, for them, it was like, "Oh, yeah, Van Ness, he's a good pick." It's like, he probably thought he wasn't going to go in the first round.
Maybe he wasn't.
Why don't you blast Green Bay for taking another defensive guy yet again.
Yeah, the Jets went with Will McDonald out of Iowa State with that 15th pick that they got in the swap for Aaron Rodgers. All right, we'll continue with his wake-up call. More on the Lamar Jackson contract coming up, and then we'll also look at the Miami Heat getting ready for the Knicks.